You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
Coming to us from Tanuki Makaurau, he is from the band Ecomatica, and he is here to talk about their self-titled debut album, which is full of incredible synthesizers that kind of mesh around some rocky tunes. So we're going to welcome Matt here on the show. Good morning to you, Matt. How are we?
Morning, Zach. How's it going?
It's going real solid, man. In between talking on air and you know, whatever, I've been doing a crossword. Sorry, a word find, which is, you know, keeping my brain awake. It's better than looking at social media because that's not really good for your brain, I've found.
Indeed. It is Friday, so, you know, every week with Friday is the weekend to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
For us today, it's an exciting day. Our album has gone live on Spotify. It's a culmination of, just over a year of hard work and collaboration between the four of us. So Charlie, AJ, myself, and Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Today to celebrate the release of the album, we've got a gig at the Ponsonby Social Club. We'll be rocking this evening with the incredible Napoleon Baby, who have just returned from touring over in Europe.
Man.
They're looking forward to hearing some of their stories. Probably a wee way away for us for that kind of trip away. But we're keen to share the love this evening with our album. So it's great.
Very, very exciting stuff. Now, I mean, you do say it might be a while before you go to Europe, but I did see that the band was covered about 3-ish weeks ago by Radio Brumas, which is a Brazilian music blog site. Do you know that if you have a lot of international listeners or how they came across your stuff?
Yeah, so AJ, the mad scientist behind our where our songs are being played overseas, he's been out a lot of information about our songs. So we've released two singles so far, Love Isn't Always. It blew up.
Oh, I think the connection.
We're getting people.
Oh, I can't. Are you still there, Matt? Because sorry, the connection seems to be quite bad.
The backing of those online.
Right row. Can you hear me, Matt? Are we on a stable line?
Hello. Yeah, hello. We're back. Yep. We're all good. Sorry about that.
Awesome. No stress, man. No stress. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. So I can hear you. Yep.
Cool. Cool.
All good.
So you're saying AJ's the man who's kind of hooked you up internationally?
So he's sent out a lot of messages to blog sites, to music reviews, got us on a lot of playlists.
Mm-hmm.
It's great to see our music being played internationally as well as back home. We're sort of riding the wave of songs that we wrote in on back decks at people's houses and people's living rooms and then in the rehearsal studios, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing those songs sort of come to life and people enjoying them, so it's great.
I saw that you guys originally started with acoustic covers before growing into the band you are today with a whole original album behind you. What covers did you guys start out doing?
Yeah, so we sort of came together under the name The Miserabilists, and we were looking at covers of songs from Portishead, The Pixies, Talking Heads, and The Cure. And as I say, it was sort of how the band sort of came together. We started doing covers of songs that sort of influenced us as musicians. And then sort of the sound was a very acoustic kind of sound, and I think that's how we sort of came towards where we are now as Ecomatica.
Mm.
And the fact that we were playing a lot of songs acoustically, and it kind of that's where a lot of the lead lines and a lot of the melodies sort of came together for the songs off our album.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that we were there's a lot of experimentation in the early days, And then sort of post-COVID, we started, right, I think, you know, we thought that we wanted to give it a good crack, and we sort of started writing songs and, you know, drawing on all of our influences as musicians. As I say, we've got AJ and Charlie from, you know, UK influence, and Scott and myself from New Zealand. So, yeah, there's just a lot of ideas that sort of came together off the back of covering those songs to where we are now.
Mm. Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that the band went through a sort of experimental period before coming into who you are now. How did that experimental period kind of inform your current sound, and what haven't you carried through from that time?
Yeah, I mean, as I say, starting with acoustic covers, mm-hmm. I think, you know, a lot of the sound that is coming through and what's being reviewed for our singles and now the album is that, you know, although, you know, when we're in the rehearsal studio, you know, bringing these songs to life, it was a combination of, you know, volume, but also, you know, knowing when, you know, a lot of the songs have got great dynamic, and it's, you know, we experimented with, you know, a heavier sound, and then sort of brought that right back to, you know, so that the lead line and the melodies are still there without, you know, just being drowned out by heavy distortion, which myself is originally more of a rock guitarist. You know, with this band, it's about a lot of restraint, and making sure that the volume and the sound that we're producing musically doesn't drown out the vocal, because as you will have heard, Charlie, an amazing vocalist, and you know the songs that and the lyrics that she's put together for these songs is just it's outstanding. So a lot of our melodies and a lot of our lead lines kind of gel together quite nicely with Charlie's vocal. So what hasn't come through, to answer your question, you know, is initially when we're doing the covers, obviously we're trying to kind of replicate the original artist and the original sound, but with the songs that we're doing now, it's, you know, we're in control. So we're, you know, we're making the changes, we're going over the melodies, going over the lead lines to see what works for us. And as I say, over a year's work has come together with the 11 tracks that we're proud to put out with our first album. So it's great.
It's awesome. I want to touch on Charlie's sort of lyricism for a second. She's got a few standout lines that I gleaned from the album. She says, "Love is a curious dream, on love isn't always. On heartbeat," she says, "if God is real, she's a heartbeat." And on the track, "What is this?" She says, "I feel I can't feel it all." All things that kind of feed into these themes of lovelessness, sort of being forlorn, and a sort of confusion. How do you interpret the album's themes?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I say, everything that Charlie writes and everything that comes through in the songs is all taken from personal experiences. You know, we often, we're in the band, in the rehearsal space, you know, we're musicians, and you know we're together as a band at that point, but we, you know, we have day-to-day jobs. You know, as I say, we've all come from different walks of life, so everything that she's written about, everything that's coming through in the songs, is, you know, taken from personal experiences. And as I say, if we were in a band where we were just writing lyrics for the sake of lyrics, to try and write catchy songs, then it wouldn't be, you know, we wouldn't be true to who we are as musicians. And I think for Charlie, you know, everything that she's singing in those songs that you mentioned, it's all from the heart, and it's all from, you know, how she, her interpretations of the world that we're living in. And so, yeah, for me, it's great to be, you know, playing songs that where the vocalist is really singing from her heart, and also from, you know, how she's seeing the world and how it's where we were and where we're going. So that's probably the best I can answer.
I appreciate that. And in the spirit of you guys being true to yourselves, the whole thing was recorded on analog. There was no use, or very little use, of digital audio workstations or doors, it seems. Why was that? And that was that a very, very conscious decision?
It was when we were looking at where we wanted to start this journey of recording an album, as I say, AJ, Scott and Charlie have an extensive collection of vinyl, and I think the decision to go with the analog recording to tape was to try and capture that warmth, that kind of sound that is more difficult to replicate if we were to record digitally.
Mm-hmm.
And as I say, like, we had the pleasure of working with Darren McShane from Airwick Studios, a custom built container type recording studio in his back garden.
Awesome.
And just during that process, as I say, we had to record our parts perfectly, because there was no tweaks that could be done digitally throughout the process. So often stepping outside of the room when it wasn't our turn to record, and just beautiful setting in Beach Haven, Auckland, where his studio is located. And just giving us time to kind of, sit there with an acoustic guitar and work out melodies and refine the different parts. So it was definitely an experience, having to play your part perfectly without the safety net of being able to kind of be overdubbed later on during the process. But it was epic. And I highly recommend it to bands thinking to record. The analog old school to tape is definitely something that should be considered.
In contrast to some other projects where you've recorded and there has been use of digital editing, did you find that you were spending more time recording to get everything down pat, to get everything perfect?
I guess so. I mean, it's definitely a different process. With recording digitally, you can record one part and then the basic.
Oh, it seems like we're having more technical difficulties.
The copy and paste type option. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Yep.
Yeah, sorry about that.
That's good.
I was just saying that, I guess more time in some regard and less time in other areas. With the recording to tape, the analog process, sometimes it felt like things were taking a lot longer and, we were trying to get that perfect mix. But in the end, as I say, we were stoked with how the album came out. To get it onto vinyl with Holiday Records was just something that that was the final goal for that part of it. So everyone was pretty stoked.
It's a real treat being able to put something out on vinyl immediately, and the vinyl looks really, really cool. And hey, I want to thank you for your time and coming on the program this morning, Matt. I really appreciate your time. Do you have any final words for our lovely listeners out there?
Yeah, well, as I say, we're looking forward to hearing how people interpret our songs on the album. And also looking forward to seeing our fan base tonight at the Ponsonby Social Club. If you haven't got your tickets, it's not too late. And hope to see you all there. But
awesome.
Thanks very much for your time, Dave. We appreciate it.
No stress, man. No stress. It's my pleasure. Thank you very much. Take care.
Great. Thank you. Cheers.
See ya. All right, folks. That was Matt Chong from the band Ecomatica. We're going to be playing one of their songs from their new self-titled album, which is out wherever you find your music. We're going to be playing the track Fragile World, which is maybe one of the more synth-heavy cuts on the album. That's, I think, where I really, really love this record. I'm a bit of a synth fiend, as some of you may know. Here is Ecomatica with Fragile World. We'll have Kai time in about 5 or so minutes. Keep it locked. I'll see you then.
That was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcasts.